Greetings and welcome once again to Grace Alive. It's good to have you tuned in with us today, and we trust that you'll stay tuned for the next 30 minutes as we share together with you from God's Word. In just a few moments, we'll continue our series of studies on the topic, the churches of the Gentiles. Romans chapter 16, verses 3 and 4 is our starting point, and we invite you to get your Bibles, turn to the 16th chapter of the book of Romans as we continue our study today, and also get a pen or pencil, some paper, and at the end of the program, we'll be giving you complete information about how you can contact us here at Grace Alive. If you have questions or comments about what you've heard today, or if you'd like to receive the audio or video cassette tapes, the DVDs, or the CDs of this entire month's series of studies, we would love to send them to you. Just write and request them. We'll be glad to get them out to you. Right now, Romans chapter 16 and verse 3. Romans chapter 16 and verse 3, we read this. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus, who have for my life laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. In this passage of Scripture, we see a little phrase that we talked about last week, began to talk about, and we want to talk about the importance of that phrase and the significance of that phrase dispensationally in what's happening with Paul and what's happening among the Gentiles in Paul's ministry. Paul uses the phrase at the end of verse 4, the churches of the Gentiles. He talks about Priscilla and Aquila, talking about for his life they've laid down their own necks. He's thankful for that. But not only him, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. And that little phrase, churches of the Gentiles, tells us about a monumental change that has taken place under Paul's ministry and in the dispensation of grace in which Paul is ministering. To understand that change, we started off last week in seeking to understand why is that phrase, the churches of the Gentiles, so important. We looked at time past. Turn with me just for a moment to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. And notice what Paul says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11. Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision of the flesh made by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. Those two verses there, Ephesians 2, 11 and 12, describe the situation in time past, describe what's happening in the world in time past. Not at the time when Paul's writing, not at the time when he's talking about those churches of the Gentiles being out there, but a previous time. In a previous time, Paul says there is a division in humanity, and we put this little diagram on the board last week, between the circumcision, and they have around them what verse 14 here in Ephesians 2 calls the middle wall of partition, and the uncircumcision, and they are outside of that middle wall of partition. The circumcision are the Jews, the children of Israel. The uncircumcision, the Gentiles. Paul describes there the condition of the Gentiles in verse 12 when he says, at that time, in time past, ye, you uncircumcised Gentiles, were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. In time past, if you were strangers from the covenants of promise, aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, you had no hope, and you were without God in the world. Now, we saw last week that the purpose for this division was that so God could bless Israel, make them a great nation. He gave Israel some specific blessings. He gave them the law. He gave them a land. He gave them a kingdom, a king, a governmental structure to reign over that land, all these physical descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So he gave them all these blessings. Those blessings were to be used to go get the Gentiles, to take to them a gospel, to take to them salvation, to take to them God's truth. But Israel never did really fulfill that mission. They never did take God's truth to the Gentiles because they themselves became a wicked and backslidden nation. And rather than taking God's truth out to the Gentiles, they ultimately ended up being taken captive by the Gentiles. They ended up having God punish them by using those Gentile nations. In fact, let's turn back to the book of Leviticus chapter 26. Leviticus chapter 26, and we're going to pick up today looking at the wrath of God to come. When we look at time past, we need to understand that everything in time past is predicated upon this division among the nations. This Israel being separated out, the circumcision, Israel being God's special nation, chosen nation, blessed nation. They are severed from other people. We read the verse in Leviticus chapter 20, verse 26 last week, that God had severed them from the other nations, that they were separated, 1 Kings chapter 8 told us, and that the Gentiles, being on the wrong side of that middle wall of partition, are alienated and separated from God, separated from those covenants of promise, separated from the commonwealth of Israel, separated from Christ, separated from God, separated from His blessing, separated from all of that. The Gentiles can receive that blessing and the salvation and the redemption and the blessing of God only as they come through the children of Israel. And only as that nation obeys God and takes that message out to the Gentiles. So the Gentiles are in large measure blocked, if you will, from God's blessing, from God's redemption, from God's salvation, from those covenants, from those promises, by Israel's refusal to be that channel of blessing, by Israel's refusal to take that message to the Gentiles, and by the Gentiles' refusal, frankly, to go seek God through Israel. Rather than seeking the true God through Israel, they, of course, made up their own gods, gods of silver and gold and wood, and they worshiped those idols as their own gods rather than seeking the one true and living God, the God of Israel. As I said earlier, Israel, for the most part, failed to take that message to the Gentiles. And as a result, God prophesied to them in the book of Leviticus, He prophesied what would happen if they failed to do so. If you fail to keep My law, to keep My commandments, to keep My statutes, to keep My ordinances, here's what's going to happen to you. Leviticus chapter 26 and verse number 31, we read this, "And I will make your cities waste and bring your sanctuaries unto desolation. And I will not smell the savor of your sweet odors. And I will bring the land into desolation. And your enemies which dwell therein shall be astonished at it. And I will scatter you among the heathen and will draw out a sword after you. And your land shall be desolate and your cities waste." He describes there, God does in Leviticus chapter 26, if you read all Leviticus chapter 26, and we're not going to take time to do that in this series of studies, but if you read all Leviticus chapter 26, you'll find that there are five different cycles of judgment in that chapter. That God writes to the nation Israel, and He tells them, if you don't obey Me, here's what I'm going to do. If you look down in verse 16, verse 14, he says, "If you will not hearken unto Me and will not do all these commandments." So if Israel is disobeying God, they're not doing what God desires. In verse 16, number 1, "This will I do unto you. I will even appoint over you a terror, consumption, the burning ague that shall consume the eyes, cause sorrow of heart. Ye shall sow your seed in vain, for your enemies shall eat it." Down in verse 18, "And if you will not yet for all this hearken unto Me, then will I punish you seven times more for your sins." And in verse 19, he tells the next thing he's going to do. If you go to verse 21, "If you walk contrary unto Me and will not hearken unto Me, I will bring seven times more plagues upon you according to your sins." If you go on down in the passage to verse 23, "And if you will not be reformed by Me by these things, but will walk contrary unto Me, then will I also walk contrary unto you." And finally down in verse 27, "If you will not for all this hearken unto Me, but walk contrary unto Me, Then I will walk contrary unto you also in fury, and I, even I, will chastise you seven times for your sins. Five cycles. God says to Israel in Leviticus 26, if you don't obey me, this is what I'm going to do. And if you still don't obey me, this is what I'm going to do. And if you still don't obey me, this is what I'm going to do. All the way to the fifth time. And the fifth time he says, I'm going to make your cities waste. I'll bring the land into desolation, and I will scatter you among the heathen. In other words, I'm going to wipe out this nation, and I'm just going to scatter the remnants of that nation out there among the Gentiles. And that nation won't even exist as a nation anymore. You'll be scattered out among the Gentiles, and I'll lay your cities waste, and Gentiles will inhabit those cities instead of my people Israel. And in fact, that's the course that Israel takes. In the history of Israel, they fail to obey God's law. They fail to obey His word. You can read in the Old Testament how the northern 10 tribes of Israel are taken captive by the Assyrians. The southern 2 tribes of Israel are taken captive by Babylon. They in fact do get scattered among the Gentiles. In Daniel chapter 2, you see a detailed description of how the Gentiles are going to rule over that nation, beginning with King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon and right on down through. When you get to Luke chapter 21, and let's turn over there, Jesus Christ talks about this times of the Gentiles, the times when the Gentiles are going to rule over the nation Israel, the times when the Gentiles are going to defeat that nation, and that nation will be scattered among the Gentiles. Luke chapter 21 and verse number 24, we read this, and they shall fall by the edge of the sword and shall be led away captive into all nations. And Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. And there shall be signs in the sun and the moon and the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's heart failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth. For the powers of heaven shall be shaken, and then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. In Luke 21, we read of this times of the Gentiles and how Jerusalem is going to be trodden down of the Gentiles until a time, verse 28, when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. Prophecy talks about a time when the nation Israel is trodden down of the Gentiles, a time when Israel is scattered among the heathen, scattered among the Gentiles for their sin. And that is God's punishment for their sins, scattering them among the Gentiles, the heathen. But ultimately, in the end, God is going to return and He'll deliver Israel. That's a time yet in the future, even from us today, when Jesus Christ will return and He will pour out His wrath, He'll pour out His judgment, and He will deliver His people from the Gentiles, from their enemies. If you turn to Matthew chapter 3, when John the Baptist came and began to preach, he actually begins to warn the nation Israel about that wrath that is coming. Notice in Matthew chapter 3, verse 5, as John preaches, and then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about Jordan and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? There is wrath that is in Matthew chapter 3 and in Luke chapter 21, what is in view is some wrath that is to come. God has been punishing His people Israel by scattering them out among the heathen. And He says, you know, I'm going to come, there's going to be redemption, but for now the times of the Gentiles are going on. And when I come and bring redemption, I'm going to do that in wrath. I'm going to come and take vengeance on my enemies. Now, why is that important? Well, you know, He's going to take vengeance on His enemies, the enemies of His people, take vengeance on the Gentiles, on the uncircumcision. But the sad truth was that many in Israel had joined the circumcision, not physically, but in spirit, Turn with me to Acts chapter 7. In Acts chapter 7, Stephen is preaching to the nation Israel, and he says this in Acts 7, verse 51. He brings this accusation against that nation. "Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost, as your fathers did, so do ye. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted, and they have slain them which showed before the coming of the Just One, of whom ye have now been the betrayers and murderers, who have received the law by the disposition of angels, and have not kept it. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God, and said, Behold, I see the heavens open, and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. And they cried out with a loud voice, stopped their ears, ran upon him with one accord, cast him out of the city, and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet, whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." Stephen preaches to that nation, to this circumcised nation, the nation Israel. And he says in verse 51, "Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears." You see, the problem is that they've become stiff-necked and uncircumcised in their heart and in their ears. Moses told them all the way back in the book of Deuteronomy, circumcise the foreskin of your hearts and be no more stiff-necked. And they failed to do that. And Stephen pronounces this accusation against them, pronounces them to be uncircumcised in heart and ears. And as being uncircumcised in heart and ears, he says, you do always resist the Holy Ghost, as your fathers did, so do ye. And there is a crisis point, if you will, here in the book of Acts, where all of the prophesying of the prophets is coming to a culmination. All of what the prophets have talked about in that wrath to come, all of what the prophets have talked about in God's judgment that is to come, all of what the prophets have talked about in John the Baptist's message to say, you need to flee from the wrath to come. Here in Acts chapter 7, all of that is coming to a head, if you will. All of that is coming to a climax. In Acts chapter 7, Stephen looks into heaven in verse 56 and said, "Behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God." If you read the book of Acts, earlier in the book of Acts, and the prophecy in Psalms, Jesus Christ ascended into heaven and he sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. And the Father said to him, "Son, you sit here till your enemies be made your footstool. You sit here till that time when it's time for your enemies to be defeated and your enemies to be brought low and your enemies to come bow before you. You sit down here till then." But you read here in Acts chapter 7 that Jesus Christ stands up. Jesus Christ stands up and he's prepared to pour out wrath. Keep your hand right here in Acts chapter 7. And go back to Isaiah chapter 3. Isaiah chapter 3 tells us something interesting about Jesus Christ standing. Isaiah chapter 3 and verse number 13, we read this. "The Lord standeth up to plead and standeth to judge the people." And the people there in that verse is a reference to his people, the children of Israel. He stands to plead with his people and to judge his people. When Stephen looks into heaven, he sees him not seated at the right hand of the Father, but standing. Standing by the Father, ready to come and plead and judge. The pleading is that time of Jacob's trouble. That time of tribulation for Israel when he uses that nation, uses those nations, the Gentiles, led by the Antichrist, to chasten his children Israel. And he pleads with that nation to come back to him. And then those that don't heed that pleading, those that don't heed that chasing and return to him, He then pours out his wrath without mixture from the cup of his indignation, the book of Revelation tells us. So what you read about in the book of Acts is a critical point in time. It's a time when the wrath of God is ready to fall. The Gentiles have been given up. They are outside of the middle wall of partition. They have no hope and they're without God in the world. The nation Israel now has rejected their king, rejected their Messiah, rejected God's message to them, nailed him to a cross, crucified him, now rejected the ministry of the Holy Spirit. You know, Jesus Christ said in his earthly ministry, blasphemy against the Son will be forgiven, but blasphemy against the Holy Ghost will not be forgiven. Blasphemy against the Son, Jesus Christ, was forgiven. Notice what Stephen says in verse 51. Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you do always resist who? The Holy Ghost. As your fathers did, so do ye. Blasphemy against the Son will be forgiven. Blasphemy against the Holy Ghost will not. The nation Israel, that's a corporate sin of the nation. It's not something that you and I commit today. That's a corporate sin of the nation Israel where they blaspheme the Holy Ghost. Take Stephen, a man full of conviction and power of the Holy Ghost, and kill him, murder him, send him back to heaven, as it were, with a message that says, we will not have this Jesus to reign over us. And as they do that, they set the stage for the wrath to come. They set the stage for God Almighty to pour out without mixture from the cup of his indignation, his wrath. Not just on these Gentiles who have turned their back on God long ago, but also to pour out without mixture from the cup of his indignation, his wrath on this unbelieving, backslidden, uncircumcised in heart and ears nation. All the world now is ready to receive the wrath of God. Acts chapter 7, all the world is ready to receive the wrath of God. With the rejection of Israel, of their Messiah, and the stoning of Stephen, the rejection of the ministry of the Holy Spirit, all the world is now ready to receive the wrath of God. With the Gentiles in absolute darkness and unbelief, and with God's chosen vessel to go get the Gentiles now in absolute darkness and unbelief, all the world is ready to receive the wrath of God. That phrase, I've said it three times now, describes to you Acts chapter 7. All the world is ready to receive the wrath of God. What happens in Acts chapter 9 is extremely significant. I'm going to just read it today. They're going to pick up here and talk about it the next time. Acts chapter 9, verse 1. Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. He fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city. It shall be told thee what thou must do. Something happens here in Acts chapter 9 that changes the course of human history forever. Something happens here in Acts chapter 9 that is going to allow what Paul says in Romans to make sense. That there are now churches of the Gentiles, that God is now out there working among the... God is not today pouring out wrath on the Gentiles. He's not today pouring out wrath on his backslidden, uncircumcised in heart and ears nation. He's not today pouring wrath. I said three times, all the world is ready to receive the wrath of God. And yet we stand here today 2,000 years later and the world has not received the wrath of God. Why is that? Acts chapter 7, all is in readiness, all is set. Jesus Christ, the Gentiles are in unbelief and darkness. God's chosen people, Israel, is in unbelief and darkness. They've rejected the ministry of the Father through John the Baptist. They've rejected the ministry of the Son, Jesus Christ, crucified him. They've rejected the ministry of the Holy Spirit through Stephen. They just killed him. Jesus Christ, Stephen, pronounces judgment on them. You're stiff-necked, you're uncircumcised in heart and ears. Jesus Christ stands up at the right hand of the Father, ready to plead and judge his people. And suddenly, the wrath doesn't fall. Nothing. Suddenly, nothing. Well, there is something, but it's not wrath. It's Jesus Christ appearing to Saul on the road to Damascus and giving him a message. And next week, we'll pick it up there and we'll talk about that message and we'll talk about the significance of what happens here in the middle of the book of Acts. As Jesus Christ stands and is ready to pour out his wrath on all the world is ready to receive the wrath of God. And yet one man receives grace and forgiveness and takes that message to the world. We'll pick it up here next week. We'd like to invite you to write to us with any questions you might have. Our address is simply Grace Alive, 743 Ridge Road, Fallen Timber, Pennsylvania, 16639. Our web address is www.gracealive.org, and our toll-free phone number, 877-53-GRACE. We look forward to hearing from you this week in any of those ways. You can email us through the website. We encourage you to log on to the website. It's a brand new website. We've got audio of the messages here that you hear in the broadcast, also printed form, audio of some of our studies here in our local assemblies. So we encourage you to tune in, or to log on to the website, check it out, and email us if you'd like to receive the CDs or DVDs of this series of studies. We'll be glad to get it out to you. Just request the series on the churches of the Gentiles. And now till next week, we hope that you'll be tuned in at the same time, and we trust that until then, God's grace will truly be alive in your life.